We're going to spend the last two segments talking about defensive and offensive tactics against the Archontic entities. We have a list of words here, and we're going to have to go through them really quickly in order to cover them. I think we might not even get to the end of the list. Okay, first is shielding. Who would like to take that one up?
Well, I'll jump on that real quick. So you need to find a method that works for you. Use some form of geometry that works for you. I have a couple of articles on my blog at ascensionhelp.com of how to shield. Essentially, it's a matter of making your energy field as solid and sovereign and impenetrable as possible.
Okay, and how would you go about that?
Well, it starts with connecting with your higher self. You connect with Mother Earth. You get the core of your heart connected to the core of the planet. And then you generate a geometric shape around yourself. I like the octahedron as a starting point, which is two pyramids base to base. It's one of the platonic solids. From octahedrons, then I'll put a sphere around that, and then you can put, if you want to keep going, you can keep adding shapes, you can add a cube, you can keep going in layers. It depends on how fancy you want to get, but at the very, very base level, you want to at least be visualizing a golden sphere of light around yourself and declare that you are sovereign within that field.
Like a circle of protection based on faith, not entirely dissimilar from how a Christian believes that Jesus will save them kind of thing.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you the difference, though, is if you're always looking for someone else to save you, you can never save yourself. And that's not a good thing. It's not a good thing. It's because what I was trying to tell you before, we're all gods in the state of becoming. We're all seeds of light. Our souls are seeds of light. And this is just one of an infinite number of universes that were born out of very mature seeds of light. It's an organic process. It's a holographic fractal. Sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
And that's what we mean by obtaining the higher self. Yeah. Now, the word sovereign, I'd like to jump on that. In fact, we already covered that, didn't we, earlier? Okay, next word is love. Eve, would you like to weigh in here?
Well, I mean, love is definitely the answer for so many things. But one of the things that one has to do really to even receive love or give love is to heal one's own wounds of the heart and the soul. Mm-hmm. And that needs to happen so that our blind spots are removed and we can perceive what's happening and be able to give and receive love more freely. So I'm actually a proponent of self-empowerment and really trying not to seek outside yourself for help from any other deities if you can, just connecting deeply with your soul and with like what I call the divine feminine and the intelligence of the living planet. And then that helps give you much more power, and realizing your own empowerment is a greater confidence builder and really helps you. Otherwise, you're going to be running from one shaman to the next or one exorcist to the next. And sometimes these things just don't help. So really connecting and then taking responsibility for healing your own self.
Incidentally, the American Medical Journal also states that where you're likely to find psychopaths is religious gurus.
Or psychiatrists.
Yeah, that was in my book. Like a large percentage of the psychopath types that are hosted were gurus or some kind of religious minister or claiming to be so. And that's really high on the list, those types.
Mm. Now, next word is creating love in your environment. How exactly do you accomplish that?
Well, it starts with yourself, with your relationships, right? You have to love yourself. You have to heal the pain of your past, like Evie mentioned, and then find people that are willing to do the same thing for themselves. Because if you're with someone who refuses to work on themselves, refuses to heal, they're going to be constantly pulling you down and blaming you for their own emotional state. So associate with people that are willing to do the work on themselves and willing to love themselves. That way you can love each other from not a place of needing love, but rather extending and expressing a natural outflow of expansive love.
I think that's one of the reasons that Christ admonished us to love our enemies. First, love your neighbor, but also love your enemy, because actually what the archons feed on is when we hate our enemies or hate anyone or hate, period. So loving the enemy actually diffuses. It's with one of the techniques, one of the tools we can use. It's difficult. Honest, it's easier for me to say that than actually do it sometimes, I know. But it's just something I highly recommend to people to consider doing that on a regular basis. It's tough.
Yeah. I absolutely love David Rockefeller. He's my homie. I will snuggle him with big, nice bear hugs.
I'm sorry. Good on you, mate.
You know, it's hard to do that. I mean, it's really hard to love your enemies unless you've gone through your own healing process. And part of that really is the grieving process, which I go into in my book, The Dark Side of Cupid, because a lot of times people actually omit their own grieving process. And if you omit that aspect of your healing, you know, giving and receiving love is not as easy. And then you're not as empowered.
Now, also, this means, of course, loving thy enemy isn't necessarily about approaching them and trying to help them and things like that. It's just about sort of just having that that love for them, just saying, you know, that's fine, you know, I love you anyway, and so on and so forth. But I'm not going to associate with you whatsoever because you're going to try and kill me and corrupt me otherwise, right?
It's also about taking responsibility for your emotional state. That's part of being sovereign. Instead of letting them provoke you or distract you from who and what you really are and your life's purpose as a God in a state of becoming, every time they get you angry, you just convert it. You transmute it. You just transmute it to a love vibration instead of hatred.
Hmm. It's hard, all the kind though. Of the golden circle around you is about, like ancient magi talked about circles of protection that they were capable of casting around themselves to protect them from dark spells and so on and so forth.
It right? is, but it's also, I think, it's a allegorically speaking, it's part of what alchemy is about, transmuting lead to gold.
And speaking of transmuting lead to gold, focus on joy is the next words that we have here.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. And I think that I'm really good at this because I'm capable of turning. Like, look at this. People come to me and they're in a real bad state. Okay, I've had people on the verge of crying, on the verge of committing suicide, on the verge of attacking others, and I'm capable of, through listening, through caring, through a giving of myself and my own energy to them, completely flipping it around. And even after only a few minutes of conversation with me, sometimes I can change your entire worldview from everything's against me, nothing is worth living, to, hey, you know what? Stuff ain't that bad after all.
Yeah, we all need some support. Actually, the random acts of kindness are extremely powerful. And, you know, as far as uniting with, giving that sense of connection, of unity with another human being is something that the Archons hate. They fear it. They do not want us to unite. They're constantly provoking us and turning one against the other, divide and conquer.
The support and the community and empathic communication is really important, and that helps so much to have someone to talk to.
Eve, can you clarify as well? Because this is part of the divine feminine, isn't it?
Well, yes, it's connecting and relationship and community and support and, you know, the sacredness of life and really valuing those things in our community and our relationships, which has really been gone thrown out the window in a rushed Western society. It's people are not connecting with one another anymore. They're staying on their cell phones or their TV or their computer, and they're not really connecting one-on-one, you know, speaking the truth and compassionately communicating. So that's a real big part.
Can I also say that there's also a suppression of the divine masculine as well? Robert, would you be able to explain, like, what's the difference here? Well, not necessarily the difference, but what are the aspects of the divine masculine here? Because I thought it was like a protection kind of thing.
No.
Providing or
nurturing.
Have I got this wrong? Nurturing.
I have a teenage son, and I raised him because my wife is working in a corporate setting. I was too, but... hey, she makes more money, so I work at home. Why not? And I've seen a huge difference because I did not have that connection with my father, and I think it diminished me greatly until I finally resolved my issues internally and then externally with my father. So I do believe there has been a movement towards what they call stay-at-home dads, and that level of nurturing for any child, whether it be a boy or a girl, is highly important to know that you're there to protect them but also to guide them. To show them boundaries and also praise. It's really important for the nurturing, the development of that particular child into a full-blown, very, intact adult.
Mm. Well, you need both of those divine aspects in order to become a complete whole, don't
Correct.
You?
Yes,
boys need the divine feminine and the divine masculine just as much as girls do.
Of course, absolutely. But I do
think that, incidentally why the Archons are trying to destroy the family unit.
Absolutely. I was just going to say that. They're diminishing the role of a father as being insignificant, at least in Western culture, in the media. They're making fathers look very inept and inconsequential, and that's not true, in my
opinion. Peter Griffin and Homer Simpson.
Absolutely. No, actually, Family Guy, because I'm in Rhode Island. I see that character is a. I used to think that was a cartoon until I moved here. It's actually a documentary. Sorry to say. Sorry, folks. Rhode Island, New Englanders, love you guys. It's my new home, but wow, there's a lot of strangeness going on here. So, yeah. Anyway.
Right. Hence the talking dogs on a leash, incidentally.
Yes. Yeah, now, right.
Most of them wear New York City police uniforms. Now, next word we have on the list is connect to nature. Mm. And Cameron, I'd like your perspective on this because you've actually moved into the woods.
Yes, I live in the woods. I have for many years. And I kind of take it for granted, but it's so important that you connect with nature, that you get your feet, bare feet, on the ground somewhere. Even if you're in a city, find a park or in your backyard, if you have lucky enough to have a yard in the city or whatever. Get your feet on the ground, close your eyes, and sync up your heart with the heart of the planet, the very core of Mother Earth, because she is the mother of humanity. She is an incredibly powerful being. And when you can listen to her, she'll help you. She will guide you. She will give you insight. She will strengthen your energy field so you'll be less susceptible to ankle biter intrusions. Sorry, I call the Archons ankle biters because calling them Archon gives them, I think, a little too much authority. So I like to laugh at them, call them ankle biters, tease them a bit. It helps to kind of burst their bubble. But when you're connecting with Mother Earth, she will strengthen you against any form of opposition.
And indeed, part of the mechanism for this is to turn off your fracking cell phone, get away from cell phone towers, EMF radiation. And indeed, those of you who are listening online or watching this on YouTube, you can go to my YouTube channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media, and watch the interview with Paul Waddell, W-A-D-D-E-L-L. He's one of only three people in New Zealand who's qualified to test for EMF radiation. And the amount of information that he disclosed during that program about the effects of this on your body is absolutely startling, okay? And this is coming from a radio show host like me who hears every day about how we're being penetrated by ruthless criminal sociopaths and how they're trying to hatch their schemes to exterminate us. And he made me freak out all over again like I'd never heard it before. So facing your own shadow is next. Eve, do you want to take that one?
Oh, yes. Well, that's absolutely true, because our own shadow is really our own unhealed wounds from the past, and it could even be former lifetimes. And that stays in the subconscious, and then it projects outward. So whenever there's pain that's not being addressed or not conscious, then that will be projected out and creating a weakness and a blank spot in our perception so that, you know, these entities and beings could attack us. So really facing our own darkness is a really big way of dealing with it, and really loving ourself and loving and healing that part of ourself.
One thing that helps with that is our next word here, getting out of bad relationships.
Absolutely. You have to set boundaries against those who are harmful to relating in a healthy, harmonious way, and really set firm boundaries. You just can't allow that, which means, you know, sometimes isolating yourself and healing in nature until you get back involved in relationships. And you have to be strong enough in yourself and your own connection with nature before you get involved with others sometimes, just to build that strength again.
Mm. Okay, and forgiveness. This is another one, and we only have one more word left, and we've got 2 minutes. We might have actually covered all of these defensive mechanisms in a segment. That's good. Robert, what about forgiveness?
It's one of the toughest, I find, but it's one of the most profoundly healing things that you can do. I mean, you have to be genuine about it. Forgive yourself first. That's how I did it. Start with forgiving yourself first, and then work genuinely. Forgive yourself, and then you can start forgiving others. And what it does is it just drops a lot of the baggage that we tend to carry around, and which drains our energy and weakens us.
Last one here, apologies. Archons, psychopaths, not only don't apologize, they can't.
No, they justify their – they always justify their actions or blame others. And, you know, one of the things I was saying on the break that you didn't hear, Vinny, is some people have accused me of saying, you know what, all you're doing is creating a scapegoat for you, for bad behavior. And I say, no, I'm actually saying that we have to be even more responsible for our emotional state and our actions, because we know, as awake beings, we know the real game here. So it's incumbent upon us and anybody who's awake to actually be more, take more responsibility, a greater responsibility is placed on us once you know what's really going on here.
Now, this is also a way that you can identify these creatures within your midst. If they've done something to you and you ask them to apologize and they don't, that's a big, big red flag. May not be 100% kind of, you know, I can just suddenly write them off as a psychopath, but if they've never apologized to you for anything, ever, always blame somebody else, always say that it's, oh, I'm sorry that you feel that way about it, and put it back on you, then it's becoming a heck of a lot clearer. And a whole bunch of people in my circle of friends suddenly come to mind for some reason. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.